Hey, everybody, it's Brian, host of the Workin' Sports podcast. Before we get into today's episode, I want to give a quick shout out to Seattle University and their Master in Sports Business Leadership program. Their program is housed within their School of Business and will help you develop the business skills that will set you apart in the sports industry, which is so important. You'll also gain work experiences you'll need for that resume once you graduate and you have that actual experience. And connections, so important. You need connections, and they will help you connect with sports industry professionals from your first class through your last in their unique leadership and professional development courses. I actually, in this episode, I do a little bit of research because it fit in with the theme of today's conversation. I do a little bit of research into the alumni of the Seattle University program. I do it through LinkedIn, and I found out, like, it is crazy some of the great teams and organizations graduates of this program are working with right now. I saw directors of media relations. I saw event coordinators. I saw all these really cool jobs, associate producers at major organizations, at major media networks, at professional sports teams, in the NFL. And college sports. So you know that's your proof. That's your proof of concept that this program really works. If you want any more information, email them at msbl@seattleu.edu, or you can call 206-398-4610 to learn more about this really cool program. One more time, msbl@seattleu.edu, or you can call direct 206-398-4610. Now, let's start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkinSports.com, and this is the Workin' Sports Podcast. I'll admit, March Madness kind of snuck up on me this year. I was trying to book a guest for the show, and her publicist said to me, well, she's at the conference tournament all next week and then on to March Madness, so can we wait until after the tournament's done? And of course, I mean, I played it off like, oh, sure, of course, yeah, perfect. But in my head, I was thinking, wait, we're in March already? I was like, wait, I didn't even realize that we're in conference tournament time. What's wrong with me? Then last night, we spring forward our clock, so I get up this morning with my daughter, and it's like pitch black, and I'm completely out of whack. I'm like, everything's off my schedule today. Quick tangent. I'm a weirdo, so I decided to read a bunch of articles on the history and purpose and intention of the daylight saving shift. That's how I spent my Sunday. Okay, I always thought it was related to farming, and I'm guessing a lot of you did too, because that's what they taught us in school. More daylight hours for the farmers. Which, if you think about it, makes no sense because farmers can regulate their schedule based on available sunlight, not what the clocks say. It's not like they punch in and punch out. And furthermore, it's not like changing the time on the clock provides more sunlight. It just hits at a different time of the day. Anyway, I'm enjoying this tangent already. so I'm going to continue on this. There's a fact. People are more active in the daylight, which means they spend more money. Adding the hour of daylight to the evening versus the morning when people are sleeping dramatically increases consumer spending. It's crazy, right? Think about it. You use more gas. If it's daylight out, you use more gas to go more places. You go to the, you know, do things. You spend more money in the daylight. Proven economic fact. Now let's tie this into sports. Way back in 1986, when even I was only in sixth grade, the golf industry argued that an extra month of daylight savings would increase their revenue by $200 to $400 million per year. Just 1 month. Now, adjusted for today's economy, that's $450 to $900 million extra dollars of revenue for 1 month of daylight savings. Think about it. Nighttime golf. It's daylight. I can go do that. People are spending more money. This is an economic choice. You'll hear people share that it was a move to reduce energy consumption. That's the line, the government line or the corporate line or whatever you want to go with to kind of convince people. The theory was that people being awake during the time of most daylight would result in less lights being turned on and therefore less energy consumption. But over time, that theory has been debunked. A Yale economist, a smart person who went to Yale, found that there was actually a 1% increase in energy consumption when Indiana switched to daylight savings time statewide in 2006, which cost an estimation of $9 million to consumers across the state. So I guess Ben Franklin forgot to include air conditioning in his economic forecasts. More light, more daytime, more awake, more hot, more air conditioning, not just less lights. See how that works? Okay, so how's that for a tangent this Monday morning? Nothing wrong with being curious about things that aren't just sports people. Sometimes we're going to talk about things that are just interesting. All right, let's get on to today's question. Daniel from New Hampshire. Hi, Brian. Big fan of your podcast. I'm a high school junior and our entire athletic department and all of my friends listen as often as we can. Daniel, that is really cool. Thank you for spreading the word and for being here and sending in your question. So Jano said he's a junior and he says, I'm starting to narrow the field for my coming college decisions. I want to major in sports management because that's my passion. And I eventually pursue a career in Major League Baseball. What suggestions do you have for this process and how I should go about it? Daniel, great question. In fact, I get this one about once or twice a week. So it feels like a good time to have this conversation again. For all of you listening who are already in college or grad school or out of school, trust me, there are parts of this conversation that will be extremely relevant to you as well. So don't tune out. For those of you with education decisions ahead of you, buckle up and listen. A little history lesson to start. When I went to college in the 90s, yes, I am old, there was really no such thing as a sports management degree. Crazy, right? There were business and management courses, but nothing with a specific focus on sports. In fact, between 1980 and 2010, the number of undergraduate sports management programs grew from just 3 to over 300. I just did some quick research on our sister site, degreesinsports.com, and they have over 600 sports-related bachelor's and graduate programs on our site. So there's a lot of programs out there. There's a lot of options. Now, why? Why did this happen? Why the growth? I always think it's important to understand the why, because that can help in your decision making. Well, because sports management programs are exciting and fun, and they drew in lots and lots of applicants. More applicants equals more revenue. Remember this in life. Follow the money. That is generally going to lead you to the answer you seek, whether it's daylight savings time or sports management degrees. Nothing sparks change like increasing revenue. Introduce a sports degree to your allotment of majors, of undergraduate majors, and boom, more people are applying, more people are coming to your school. Now we're talking big money, okay? But just because they build the sports management program and offer it doesn't mean that they're all created equal. Many of them are not good, and they're not training students in the skills they need to be successful in the sports industry. Just to be really clear, sports management degrees are not a fun way to skip through college talking about the big game this weekend. They should live up to a much different set of criteria that aligns with the needs of the multi-billion dollar industry of sports. That's the goal, right? This isn't just, I'm a high school kid who played sports and I probably wouldn't go to college otherwise, but since they offer a sports degree, I'm going to go because it sounds like it could be fun. No, these programs should have focus and direction and be help drive those people that are really interested in the business side of sports to take their career to the next level. Why am I explaining all this history? Well, like I said, some programs added sports management programs to make more money for the university. And if you're going to pursue this degree, you want to make sure you choose a program that's in the right place with the right intentions. It's not just a money grab, that it actually has a good program. So how do you do that? Okay, before we get into the criteria, I've got 5 pieces of criteria that I want you to use in your analysis process. But before we get into that, I want to make sure I make one point really, really clear. Your success in sports is about what you have inside of you, not the name written in cursive on the top of your degree. No matter where you go to school, if you have the drive and determination to focus and to succeed, you can. I went to the University of Delaware, right? Nothing against the Blue Hens. I had a great time, but it's not exactly like I went to Harvard, right? And I've had a very good career. I'm here in front of you right now, and you're listening to me. So it means I know something. I'm interviewing someone this week in a high-ranking position with one of the biggest brands in all of sports. I'm not going to say their name or like that because it always bites me. Whenever I brag about a guest, something invariably goes wrong. So I'm going to wait on that, but I am excited about it. It'll be great. You guys will love it. But you know where this person went to school? Adrian College. I'm pausing to give you a moment to determine if you've ever heard of Adrian College. No, you haven't. Okay. Let's play a game. What state is Adrian College in? I'll give you a minute. You don't know. Okay. Don't know. How many students are there at Adrian? Oh, good question. I do not know. I am being completely honest. I am in this field where I interview people all the time. I've interviewed people all my career for jobs, and I interview people from much great different backgrounds. I've never heard of Adrian College. I've reported on sports and all over the place. Never heard of them. Okay. But this is a person that went there and ended up working at one of the biggest brands in all of sports in a very highly important and impactful brand forward job. Okay. Adrian, I'm going to give you the answers now. Adrian is in Michigan, about an hour southwest of Ann Arbor. They have around 1,600 undergrads, which is probably smaller than some of your high schools. My point is this. No one looked at this person's resume and said, Adrian, huh? No way. I guarantee they looked at his internships, his volunteer activities, his skills profile, his work in the athletic department on campus, and other features of who he is and what he can do for their organization when deciding to hire him. It's about the drive inside of you. Success is about your drive to achieve. Are you willing to sacrifice some parties to intern? Are you? Are you willing to volunteer at a road race one weekend rather than hang out in the dorms? Are you willing to spend a summer interning with a minor league baseball team rather than living at the beach? Are you willing to set up informational interviews? Are you going to attend conferences, join industry-specific groups? Are you willing to research the skills the industry needs and wants and make sure you know them? If not, none of this matters. The criteria I lay out for you, the choices you make for what school to go to, if you don't make those other sacrifices, it doesn't matter. If you have no drive and no sacrifice in your game, it doesn't matter where you go to college. What's in you is what matters most. And that applies to grad school. That applies to your college experience. That applies to your entry-level jobs and everything. It applies when you're on an entry-level job, if you're going to get that next promotion to be a manager. And if you're going to be a manager, to get it to be a director, and a director to a vice president and a CMO or whatever you want to be. That continual growth depends on you. That's it. Now, all that said, let's imagine for a second you all have drive, because I don't think you'd be listening to this podcast if you didn't have some level of motivation to succeed, right? Most people who are driven and want something are the type of people that will be listening to a podcast specific to their wants and needs. So you're here. That's a good sign that you have the drive. Now let's get into those criteria for selecting programs. And again, this is about grad, undergrad, or even just life in general. These are the way to kind of evaluate decisions. Okay. Okay. Number one, first and foremost, I believe the best sports management programs reside within the College of Business. As you've heard me say countless times before, sports is a huge business. It runs under the same principles of a product company. You know, there's accounting, there's marketing, there's HR, there's operations, there's sales. Revenue makes the world go round. Just like every other business in the world, the money has to come in. Sports are no different. A vast majority of your classes while you're evaluating programs should be related to business and taught through the prism of sports. Okay, so it's sports specific, but with a business lens. And you'll find every college, if you're not familiar with this, has groupings, right? The College of Business, the College of Health and Science, and the College of whatever. You know, I'm not going to get into all the way the schools divide up their programming, but most, I think, the best sports management programs are housed under the College of Business, the School of Business. So look for that. Unless it is that you know you want to be a sports trainer or a kinesiologist or something like that. These are different. I mean, they're different fields within the sports industry, and it does require a different background. But the vast majority, if you're interested in sports management programs, strongly consider those with a distinct business influence. Okay, number two. Study the professors in the program. So let's say you build your short list. You got 5 to 10 schools you're interested in. Now start digging into the professors, right? who are the people that teach this program, especially the adjunct professors? Adjuncts are professors who aren't on the tenure track and aren't researchers. They are out in the field working and then come to the classroom to teach. So for example, if a local college asked me to come teach an intro to sports management course or something like that, I would keep my day job doing exactly what I do now and then come teach as well on the side in a part-time role. That would make me an adjunct professor. I mention this because some of the best programs have really impressive adjunct professors. They actively recruit people who are important in the industry to come in and be a part of their faculty. For example, former guest Josh Rowich, who's the VP of Content and Communication for the Arizona Diamondbacks, is an adjunct professor at Arizona State. If I wanted to work in that field, boy, would I love to learn from him. He is in this job every day. There is no one that can give me better perspective than him. So if it were me, I would look deep into the people who teach the courses with a particular emphasis on the expert practitioners in the program, because that's where you're going to really learn the nuts and bolts of the job and the expectations and the roles and the challenges and all those things that go into it. Plus, if you're really good in their class and you do a good job networking with them, that could be a huge connection for your career and a referral on your resume. Look at those adjuncts. Very important. Number three, curriculum. Most schools have an emphasis within the sports industry. So they all have, let's say they all call them sports management degrees. Well, most schools have still a emphasis of their programs. Some are really focused on preparing their students for marketing careers. Others are experts in college athletics, still others in sales. Most schools have a specialty. And since most of that is kind of discussed behind the scenes, like I didn't even necessarily realize that until I talked with other professors who said, oh yeah, UMass is known for this and University of North Carolina is known for this and this school is known for that. They all have their kind of specialty that they're known for. I didn't realize this. So a lot of the, one of the best ways for you to learn this without, you know, interviewing a professor and asking yourself, is to look at their available courses and how they break them down. For example, if it says, okay, you need 60 credits or whatever to graduate with a sports management degree, you'll take 5 courses from this group and you'll take 3 courses from this group and you'll take 2 courses from this group. Once you do that, you can see how they, where they emphasize, right? If I go through and it says you need to take 5 courses out of this group of classes and they're all like mass media law or collective bargaining agreements, well, that's going to start to hint to me that this program focuses on the legal side of sports management. Maybe that's not my interest. Maybe that's not the direction I want to go. So start to take a real analyst approach to what is being offered, how they group them, and where they put their emphasis. And then also look at alumni. See where the graduates of the program are working. Does that interest you? Because then it tells you that the program is preparing them for those roles, right? Okay. I'm going to get into the alumni thing in a second, but that was number three, is to really go through that curriculum, because that's going to tell you a little bit more about the focus of the program and you can determine if it interests you. Number four, this is actually, I probably should have made number one. I didn't really think of these through an order, which I probably should have, but whatever, you get it. Number four, personal comfort. This gets back to my original point about Adrian College. It's still more about you than it is about the school. So decide based on your comfort for learning. If you want to stay close to home, if you want a smaller school, if you want to go online or spend less money, go where you fit, because you're going to be a better learner if you do. Adrian is only about an hour from Ann Arbor, which is where University of Michigan is. But maybe this person was like, I don't want to go to University of Michigan. I don't want to go somewhere where there's 50,000 students. I want to go somewhere as a smaller campus and really be able to get in with my professors and do this and do that and have a reason for it. Or it's just more comfortable for them. Or maybe it cost a lot less. I don't know what the reasoning is, but whatever it was a personal choice that made this person most comfortable, which I think puts them in the best position to learn. One of my really good friends in the industry went to Emerson College in Boston. Great school, really well known on the sports media side, good journalism program. But he even said afterwards, he's like, I wish I would have gone to a cheaper school and just done a lot more internships because he was in debt and it was really hard for him to get out from underneath that. And that's no slam on Emerson. It's just a fact. You have to do what you're most personally comfortable with. Okay. Number five, we're going to get into this alumni thing now. Okay. You want to know, you really want to research where alumni are working. right? What have they done after they graduated from this program? How successful have they become? Are they working for places that would be interesting to me? Are they doing jobs that would be interesting to me? Because that's the ultimate proof in the pudding, right? It's like if somebody goes and takes these courses and they get their sports management degree from wherever, and then they're working at some YMCA in Poughkeepsie, that might not do it for you, right? That might say to you, like, maybe this program isn't going to prepare me for what I think I'm going to achieve. So here's how you do this, because you're probably wondering, well, how can I get understand alumni if I'm not in the school? It's not like I can go to the Career Center and start asking questions. Let's use the tools you do have. Go to LinkedIn, okay? Click in the top search bar, and a menu appears where you can search for people, jobs, or content. Choose people. Okay. When you do that, a search bar appears below the original nav bar. On the far right, it says all filters. Click here. You now arrive at a powerful search tool to filter the entire database of LinkedIn users, right? Crazy. Like 500 million people. You can start to filter them out now. Here's my suggestion. Start broad and then work to refine. So for example, if I was considering Friends of the Podcast Seattle University, I would go to the schools filter, which is in that drop-down menu after you hit all filters, and type in Seattle University. Then I'd go to the industries filter and I'd add in sports. I did this. Okay, I conducted the search and I got 333 results. So now I can start to go through there and say, here are graduates, alumni of Seattle University who are working in the sports industry. Let's see what they're doing. Okay, my search, 333 results. I see a writer for USA Today Sports, a special events coordinator with the Washington Redskins, an associate producer for Fox Sports, a director of media relations for the Western Athletic Conference. I mean, these are some great alumni. That was like the first five. There's 333. I can really start to get in there and say, all right, I want to get a feel for this, where this program could lead me. And by studying their alumni and who's graduated from their program and where they're working now, I can start to gain confidence that if I go to this program and I invest in it, like Seattle University, if I invest my time in it, my money, my energy, I get my internships going and do all those things I'm supposed to do to build my skills out, there's a high ceiling for me. There is success here. There's a blueprint here. I can see it. So if you conduct this level of analysis as you make this decision, and actually, I think bring this level of analysis and decision-making process to just about anything you do, you're going to be well on your way to a great college career. But again, I want to emphasize, it's about you more than anything else. So put in your effort. It's not just, I chose my college, I'm going to show up for 4 years, and then magic's going to happen. Takes a lot more than that. So go back to work and get it going. We will have a Facebook Live session this Thursday. I took the last 2 weeks off, as many of you know. I apologize for that, but it's just life. So thank you for accepting that and letting that happen. Facebook Live Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern from the Work in Sports Facebook page. Great guest on Wednesday. All kinds of great content coming out at all times. So please continue to stay tuned to everything we do at workinsports.com. We love having you listen to this podcast. We love having you as members of our site. There's over 10,000 jobs on the site right now. So many opportunities right there in front of you. Save time, save effort. Just get in there, do some keyword searches, find those opportunities that look right to you. Do some research into entry-level jobs. Do some research into different companies. There's so much information right there that you can use. I talked about LinkedIn all the time. Our site is a huge tool for you guys to use to learn more about the specific jobs, what skills are in demand, and so many different factors that go into getting hired. So get in there, do your research at workinsports.com, find out more about the job opportunities that are available, and let's knock this out of the park, all right? All right, everybody, thanks for listening. I'll talk to you all soon.